And I'm going to pray one more time, too. Thank you, Sam. The name of the message that we're going to call today is called, Making Your Calling and Election Sure. That would be a good enough title, I guess. And we'll just call it that. So before we go any further, let me pray one more time. Heavenly Father, Lord God in heaven, I thank you for this opportunity now to come before these wonderful people, Lord God, all those who are online, all those who are here, that you would fill my mouth with your words. Oh, Lord God, with your presence that would be here today, Lord God. We invite you here, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, that you would rule and reign in our thoughts, in our minds, in our hearts, oh God. That you would have preeminence, oh God. Every devil and demon, wicked thing would be driven out of here and have no place to operate in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord God, for all that you're doing in these lives, all that you're doing in my life, all that you're doing in the lives of all those who are online listening in. We thank you, Father God, for this opportunity, and we seek to give you the glory to lift up your holy name above all else. In Jesus' name we pray under the blood. Amen. Praise God. Well, I want to bring your attention today to 1 Kings chapter 18, and I'm not going to be in the Old Testament very long. I'm going to be shooting over to the New Testament for the most part, but I want to speak first about what happened in the book of 1 Kings chapter 18, starting in verse 21, where Elijah, where it says here, now please listen. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. But what we find out later is, as you read further on down the chapter in 1 Kings 18, we understand that Elijah would later flee for his life after he had after the Lord had done a great miracle and a work through Elijah's hands and humiliating these gods, so-called gods, and all these heathen people who worshiped these other gods, and that they were killed and destroyed, and how that Jezebel was going to go after Elijah, and how Elijah fled for his life, thinking he was the only one left. And then how that the Lord said, I have yet reserved unto me 7,000 who have not bowed the knee to Baal. Isn't that neat? And how we know that there is still a remnant who the Lord calls. Amen. There is hope. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. And if you go to, now go to Psalm 65. I just want to read out of that Psalm 65, 4 and 5. And we know that there is a remnant. There is a people that God is calling out from among Egypt, from among Babylon, from out of these countries where heathen practices are taking place. I just received a letter from Chung Sheng Li, a wonderful, godly brother in the Lord, who encouraged me, continues to pray for my complete healing, and how that the Lord is working through all of us, and that he is very encouraged by this church and that what we're all trying to do here. And he is praying for every one of us, all of us, to be strengthened. And he was talking about how that he lives in a heathen nation, Eastern Babylon, which is in Singapore, and that he works and lives among people who practice and talk and live idolatry. They sell things in the world that are of the world. He's married to a lovely wife, but his wife, is dedicated to the job, and he's praying for her too. And we should all pray for her that her salvation would come, that the Lord would draw her and call her as well. But he was making a point that, you know, we must all strive for the mastery. We must all come out of Babylon. And that the Lord calls. We don't call ourselves. And how interesting it was to read that letter. How encouraging it was and uplifting to know that there is a man out there who lives among the heathen people where barely a soul that he can talk to or find to encourage him. And yet here we are in great need of encouragement every day from other Christians. But there is hope to know that no matter who you are and where you are, no matter where you live, that no matter where you walk, that the Lord Jesus Christ will be there with you. He will take His place right alongside you. He'll hold your hand and He'll lead you. Amen? And there is hope. There is strength. So let's read that. It says here in Psalm 65, "Blessed is the man whom Thou choosest and causest to approach unto Thee." See, the Bible teaches us that many are called, but few are chosen. We know the story of what happened when Jesus called out to those people to the wedding feast, and how that these people made all these excuses of why they couldn't come. How that they were so busy and they were doing this and doing that. And so it is today. People find all kinds of excuses why they won't and can't, and find excuses why they're going to walk away from God, or they make an excuse for this or that reason. They validate it in their own hearts and minds. And somehow they believe it. But they believe a lie from the devil, don't they? And our hope and prayer here is to encourage people that their eyes would be opened, their ears would be opened, that their heart could understand, that we could see and know and hear and obey, because obedience is so important in the walk of living for Christ. And it says here, "That He may dwell in Thy courts, we shall be satisfied with the goodness of Thy house, even Thy holy temple. By terrible things and righteousness wilt Thou answer us, O God of our salvation, who art the confidence of all the ends of the earth, and of them that are afar off upon the sea." All those, even our dear brother Chung Sheng Li, who lives across the world, across the sea, I know he's going to make it. I know Chung is a man of God. But we must pray for him as he prays for us. Keep him in your prayers. And he will keep us in his prayers. And we can all pray for each other. We can all pray and ask God to strengthen our brother, our sister, wherever they are. Let's go to Luke 6, chapter 6. Let's go to Luke 6. Luke chapter 6. Praise God. And it says here, "When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord God." Have you ever felt sinful in your life? Have you ever felt ashamed of your sins? "For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the drought, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto them, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. In other words, what the Lord is doing here is He's calling His disciples. He was walking along the seashore and calling. Is He calling your name? Are you making sure? Are you looking for God? Are you asking God, do you have a desire in your heart to serve Him? Because I know that the Lord is looking for people who have a desire to serve Him. He is looking for people that would walk in His ways and love Him, even though many of us weren't seeking God. But yet God called out to us in His great mercy and grace and kindness. He called out to us and was faithful. So what we have here is that the Lord Jesus Christ is faithful. As He called out to Adam when he sinned, walking in the garden, He will call out to you. Even when we fall, even when we fail, even when we come short of the glory of God, yet the Lord is there, faithful, abiding. Let's go to Acts chapter 2. Go to Acts chapter 2. Bear with me because here we go. I just was there and I lost my place, so bear with me. Oh, Lord God. Here we go. I think this is the place here. Okay. So we're going to go ahead and read 36, chapter 2, 36 through 41. And it says here, Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made the same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter, and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. How many know that before we can go anywhere, we must know that Jesus is our Lord? We must know Jesus. We must repent of all our sins. We must come to Him, ask Him to forgive us. When He calls us, He's also going to cleanse us and heal us and save us from sin, death, and hell. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all them that are far off, even as many as the Lord God shall call. And with many other words did He testify and exhort, saying, Save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that were gladly received His word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. How many know that we are to not only come to Jesus through salvation, to find salvation, but we are to be baptized in the name of Jesus. First there comes salvation, repentance, and salvation. And then we must go into the waters of baptism. They go together. Amen? That's a part. Thank Praise God. Amen. I know that we're called to bear fruit, aren't we? Let's go to Matthew. We could start out there by going to Matthew. And I want to show you here too. I'm kind of jumping around here a little bit, and I'm going to ask you to please bear with me. I'm getting to the point here, and it's about your calling and election being made sure. And I want to go ahead and read here in Matthew chapter 20, verse 16 through 19. And here it says, "So the last will be first, and the first last. For many be called, but few are chosen." And Jesus, going up to Jerusalem, took the 12 disciples apart in the way, and said unto them, "Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock, and to scourge, and to crucify him. And the third day he shall rise again." Oh, praise God. We know that if you are called, then you are also chosen. If you are truly called by God, you will have a desire in your heart to want to serve Him. You will have a desire to want to live free of sin. You're going to want a desire, you're going to have a desire to live for God in such a manner that you will want to live in holiness. And you will want that peace. You will want to know how to live in victory. And Jesus will not let you down. He'll show you. He'll make a way. If we go to John 15:5, it says there that we're called to bear fruit, aren't we? That's one of the things that we are called to do. Let's go there, John 15:5. Praise God, right here. Part of being called and elected, part of knowing if we are called of God, is that we are bearing fruit. If we are bearing fruit for the kingdom of heaven, you know that you are called of God. He is giving you the power and the strength to bear fruit. If you weren't bearing fruit in your life, then you would have to question whether or not you were of the faith. It says here, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. If the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of this world, but I have chosen you out of this world, therefore the world hateth you." They had those attitudes towards the disciples, these Pharisees. They had these attitudes towards God Himself, towards Jesus. Because they didn't enter into the same things that they did. They were different and they were separate. And they clung to Jesus. They looked to Him. They didn't look to the Pharisees. And the Pharisees got jealous whenever people were listening to them more than the Pharisees. And they wanted to persecute and to kill them, like they did Stephen. When they killed Stephen, that last prophet before that the Lord sent to the Jewish people, they killed him. They stoned him because they didn't want to hear from God. They didn't want to hear what God had to say. That's a sure sign that you're not being called. If you're not called, then boy, that's a scary thing. And you should be seeking God to see if you're of the faith. to examine yourselves. It says here, remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept me my saying, they will keep yours also. So we know that we are called to bear fruit, and know that when we bear fruit, we will be persecuted for it. There's a cost and there's a price that we will have to pay for bearing fruit. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 13, 5 through 10. 2 Corinthians 13. We are called to examine ourselves, aren't we? We must examine ourselves to see if we be of the faith. To see if we be a part of those who are called and elected. And it says here in verse 5, 2 Corinthians 13, 5, examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates? Oh my goodness. To be a reprobate. You don't know right from wrong if you're a reprobate. You don't know where you're going if you're a reprobate. You're in sin and you don't even know how to get out. You don't even have a desire to get out. And you're truly lost in that condition. But there is hope. But I trust that ye shall know that we are not reprobates. It says here in verse 7, now I pray to God that ye do no evil, not that we should appear approved, but that ye should do that which is honest, though we be as reprobates. For we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. For we are glad when we are weak and ye are strong. And this also we wish, even your perfection. Therefore, I write these things being absent, lest being present, I should use sharpness according to the power which the Lord hath given me to edification and not to destruction. So Paul is trying to make his point. He is trying to make his point to exhort them to examine themselves, how serious a matter it is to examine yourselves to see whether you be of the faith. To don't walk as the reprobate people walk. To don't walk as the heathen walk. To look at yourself and to see, am I bearing fruit? Am I obeying the Word of God? Am I walking in the light as He is in the light? Have I obeyed the commandments? Am I born again? Have I repented? Have I walked away from sin? Have I hated the things that God hated? Am I washed in the blood? Amen. Let's go to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. I believe I'm on 20 here. It says here, Romans chapter 3, start with verse 20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. It says here, in 21, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law of the prophets. Oh, the righteousness by faith. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. How many understand that we have all come short of the glory of God? There is not one person on earth that can ever make or stake a claim that somehow they have never sinned. That they are a good person, a good man or woman, that they're good enough to get into heaven without repenting. I mean, we've heard it many times. We've preached and taught over this pulpit here about how that there are segments and groups of people out there who think somehow that, you know, the Jewish people don't have to repent. But that all they have to, somehow they're just so elitist that they're in with God, that they are special, and that they can do no wrong, that they don't need to repent. They don't need the washing of the blood of Jesus. That they're already saved. No, that's not true. That is not true at all. I want you to know that that is false, dogmatic, heathen teaching. And that is untrue. It says here in verse 24, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. That's how we're saved. It is through Jesus. Through the redemption of the cross of Christ on Calvary. The shed blood that was shed on that cross for your sins and mine. I don't think it could ever be overstated how that we need to hear this, that we need to know this, that we need to be convinced of who we are in Christ and why. What are the reasons for our salvation? Can we give an answer to those who are lost, aimlessly wandering streets, looking for answers, asking for help, and they don't even know what they're asking for? They know they want help, but from where and from whom? It can't come from another person. You can only give so much money. You can only give so much food. Sooner or later, they need the Lord Jesus Christ to redeem their souls, to speak life into their life. Because truly we are dead without Christ. But we can be made alive in Him. He can help us to overcome all things, all situations. He can help us to overcome every demon, every wicked, foul thing that tries to come against us. He can help us to overcome the enemy of our lives, of our souls. He tries to get you down to the point where you can't get up anymore. But we don't have to go there. There is a Jesus Christ, the true, one true God, that is found written clearly in the Word of God. All those who don't know that, all those who are online, might be for the first time, can know assuredly that there is a Jesus, that there is one who saved us. There is hope, whom God has set forth to be appropriation through faith in His blood. In other words, what does appropriation mean? Appropriation means that one who has made ready a sacrifice and it was fully satisfied. The sacrifice was Jesus Christ. It was fully satisfied. The debt of every sin was fully and completely satisfied by what Jesus did on the cross. There had to be someone that would be there, that would be that sacrifice. There could be no animal good enough. No human could be good enough. That sacrifice had to come from a perfect source, and that was Jesus. Whom God has set forth to be appropriation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of the sins that are past through the forbearance of God. In other words, if you've been blood bought, don't let the devil come and discourage you so bad that you feel like you're lost all over again. See, once you're saved, truly repented, once you're living life and you're enduring unto the end, and you're doing all you can to walk in obedience, you know that those sins are in the past. They're gone forever. They're washed away, cleansed. That Jesus did a perfect work one time. He doesn't need to do it all over again as if it wasn't good enough the first time. It's good enough the first time, once and for all. And that perfect sacrifice being Jesus, the Christ, the Lord of all. One God, one faith, one hope, one glory. Through one word written, His true word found written in the King James Bible. To declare, I say, at this time is righteousness, that he might be just, and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Oh, praise God. We know that when we go back and we look at number 23, that verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, the Lord made a way. We know that old native Indians, years ago, used to shoot arrows. And if they missed their target, they would say, oh, I have sinned. They missed the mark. Oh, I have sinned. If they missed the mark. How many of us will cry out to God, oh, I have sinned. I missed the mark. God, help me. Forgive me. But then when you do that, He is just and faithful to forgive all our sins. And He will do it as promised in the Word of God. He promised us He would, and He would, and He will. Let's go to Titus chapter 2. Go to Titus chapter 2. It says here in Titus chapter 2, verse, I guess we'll go to number 10 here. Not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. That means no pilfering or theft is what that means. No pilfering, no thieving. It says here, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Hey, are we looking for that? Are we looking for that glorious appearing? That blessed hope? The glorious appearing of the great God, our Savior, Jesus Christ. There is hope in that. The glorious hope of Jesus Christ. We have no other hope but that. But that's sufficient enough. All things pale in comparison. Who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity, and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. So the Lord is telling us that we ought to go before people with all authority to exhort, to rebuke, to come against all sin, all false doctrines. That we are to have authority in Jesus' name to go before all those that God would set before us. That we could speak the truth. That we could exhort to live righteously and holy, to set yourselves apart from the sin that is in this world, from death, from the flesh, from all these things that war against us, that we can have the victory, that we can walk in victory. Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter 1. Starting in verse 3. And it says here in 1 Peter, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Oh, praise God for that. Did you see that? According to His divine power hath He given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. He's calling us to glory, to a higher place in Him, to walk in the virtue of His character, to walk in the virtue of His wisdom and understanding, to walk in the virtue and godliness of righteousness, to live holy in an unholy world, to be separate. I hope you're getting this. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Oh Lord. We have all the great, the Lord calls these things great and precious promises. Do you hold these things in your heart as great and precious? The Lord does. I hope we do. That by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Oh boy, lust is everywhere, isn't it? Lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, the pride of life. Oh, you see it everywhere you go, don't you? It says here that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. So, we don't have to walk with them in a world that's crooked and bent on destruction. We don't have to fall in lockstep with them. We are to be different and separate, though we'll be persecuted for it. That's okay. We're to rejoice when that happens. Amen. Amen. The Lord God in heaven will make a way, having escaped the corruption that is in this world through lust. I was telling Shirley the other day, last week, we had gone, we sometimes will go to Madison or wherever just to, you know, get some groceries that we need for the Sunday or things like that, vegetables and fruits, things like that, to live healthy as much as possible. And we were in the co-op and Trader Joe's, and we were at a few other places. And I just couldn't hardly believe. I mean, look, I'm not going to say, I don't want you to think and feel like somehow I'm holier than thou. I'm not. I struggle and work through things like you do. Every one of us do. But I want to say that when I was over there in Madison, I had to turn my eyes away more than a few times, let me tell you. The way some of these women dressed, it actually made me kind of sick. And I couldn't help. I was telling Shirley, I felt so sick walking, and you could see the way these women flaunt themselves, the way they dress. And I had to look away, and it made me nauseous. I said, Lord God, help me. I don't even want to look. And before you turn the corner, there's someone coming into view, and all you can do is look away. blushing, ashamed, that even that you would have to look upon that kind of thing. That's why I don't ever go to the beach anymore. I never go to the beach anymore because of that. And it's a shameful thing. But we are to guard our hearts. The lusts of the world, the pride of life, all these wicked, evil things that are happening around us. We are to be careful to guard our hearts. Oh, if you don't fear God, you're not going to feel that in your heart. That nauseousness, when you see that, it's a creepy thing. You don't want anything to do with sin in your life. We're to walk away, to run from sin. We want it off of us. Amen? Amen. You want to be delivered from sin, don't do it. Hate it. Like God hated sin. And it says here in verse 5, "And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge." Oh, thank God. See, the Lord is showing us, giving us a roadmap here, showing us how that we can make our election and calling sure. To live by the words of Christ, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. You see how all these virtues work and lead to the other. If you don't have one, you can't have the other. And that's why it's a steady progression in the walk of faith, in the walk of holiness. To walk with Christ is a narrow road. Now, it doesn't mean that that narrow road has to be anything that you would hate, but rather it's something that you should love and enjoy being a part of. Because that is the one road that will lead you to heaven. That is the only road that leads to heaven. There are not many roads. Though there be 1,000 winding roads, there's only one road, the straight road that leads to heaven. There's only one. Philosophers will tell you differently. They're going to try to tell you there's all these ways. There's a back door, there's another way. God will forgive me for this because I'm a good person. And even though a person might live a life of homosexuality, which is ungodly and an abomination before God Almighty, all homosexuality will be judged. All abortions will be judged. All these things will be judged by God. But I want to say that even though we live in a crooked world, that we can still walk according to the precepts that the Lord has set in place here. According to His Word, we can walk in obedience to it. We can find victory. We can overcome. There is hope out there for us who walk after godliness, who make our calling and election sure. "For these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." That's in verse 8. "But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure." Oh, praise God. "For if ye do these things, ye shall never fail or fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Did you see that? Making your calling and election sure is paramount to having confidence and faith. And whereby it says here in verse 11 how that for an entrance, for so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Oh, praise God. But we are also to add faith. Without faith, we cannot please God. Isn't that right? That we should add as we begin and to understand what it means to make our calling in election sure. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 11. Let's go to Hebrews. And if you go to 8, now we're talking about faith because we cannot please God without faith. This is another thing that we must add to this walk if we are to make our calling and election sure. Because we know that if we do anything apart from faith, it is sin. And we know that sin is a slippery slope. It makes us unsure of our faith. It makes us unsure of our calling and election. It says here, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into the place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whether he went. So by faith Abraham. Abraham left that land of Uz. He left it. He left it for good. And he followed after Christ, just like those apostles who followed after him as soon as he called them. They dropped everything and they followed after him, didn't they? The Lord called. There's a big difference. The world will call you to one thing, but Christ will call you to His. The world will try to call you into entertainment, to be a lawyer or a doctor, to live extravagantly, to find money as your God, to climb a corporate ladder, to do this or to do that, to fun and to energy, to live lustfully and to live for the hedonistic values of the lost, to celebrate wicked holidays and to do all these things that the lost do, the world does. So we're supposed to be separate from all that. By faith. By faith, it says in verse 9, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. That means you and me. That's you and me. When he's talking about Isaac and Jacob, he's talking about you and me. Amen? He's talking about all those generations that would follow after Christ. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Oh, praise God. There is only one builder and there's only one maker. Listen. If your house is built on sand, it's gonna fall. But if you're built on the rock, you won't fall. That rock of salvation, that rock, that fortress, that high tower, which is Jesus, He'll keep you. He'll watch over you when it's built on the rock. You won't ever fail and you won't ever fall. You might fall short, but you'll succeed in your Christian walk with Christ when you live for Him. It might appear that you fail. It might appear that you lose your witness, or you think that you're done for, that you're lost for good, that you did this and you done that. But you see, we have a greater hope, for we know that there is a hope that is greater than our own heart. You know what? We can easily condemned. We are easily condemned by our own thoughts, by what other people tell us. But there is one who is greater than that, greater than our heart. It says here, in verse 11, through faith, also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered a child when she was past age because she judged him faithful who had promised. We know that there are faithful promises every day that Jesus wants us to look and to live into. To see that there is hope, there is faith, and there is a promise that only Jesus can give you. There's only Jesus. Don't listen to other people when they tell you things, if they try to discourage you, if they try to tell you that you're not going to make it because, oh, well, you know, you're doing this, or you're not keeping the Sabbath, or you're going to that church, or you don't line up with what they think. But we are to listen to Jesus, to His words. If we understand sound doctrine, if we walk in obedience, if we seek to walk in the light as He is in the light, the Lord will keep us. He'll show us. He is faithful. Let's go to James chapter 2, right there. James chapter 2. Okay, I believe I'm in 19 here. Okay, praise God. And it says here, thou believest that there is one God. See, even the devil believes. Even the devil believes that there is a God. Thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. Oh, to be called the friend of God. Are you a friend of God today? Are you seeking to be that friend with God? The kind of man and woman who would step out in faith and believe and trust God, no matter though he slay you, yet will you trust in Him? Here, Abraham was going to slay Isaac. And yet at the last moment, the Lord stayed His hand because he trusted in God. Amen? Amen. But faith, to be effective, must cleanse the heart. Let's go to Acts chapter 15 to see that. Acts chapter 15. Praise God. Acts 15. Let's go to verse 5, I guess. Verse 5, okay? But there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. And the apostles and elders came together for to consider of this matter. And when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, Men and brethren, ye know how that a good while ago God made choice among us, that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us. Oh, they searched for it. They rended their hearts to search for the Holy Ghost. And he came and he filled them. Praise God. And put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. In other words, there's no difference between Jew and Gentile alike. There's no difference. There's no special elite race of people. There's no special type. We're all equal in God's eyes, in God's sight. None, nobody, nowhere that I know of can ever boast of somehow being better than somebody else. No matter who you are and no matter where you are. It says here in verse 8, And God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us, and put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. In verse 10, Now, therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? You see, the people in the world, the Pharisees, the Pharaoh, the devil would be considered a Pharaoh, and the Pharaoh would be considered a devil, would want to put a rope around your neck and to harness you and to keep you and to hinder you from obeying the Word of God. That's the world's way. They want to deflect you. They want to distract you and capture your attention on meaningless things. All these things in the world that matter not one whit from one day to the next of any importance at all. And yet people clamor for this emptiness. People look for these things. But we must have a clean heart before God. A clean heart. Knowing that we are circumcised into the true Jewish faith. The one true faith. The true Jew is one who is a true Christian. Amen. One who is truly born again. Let's go to 1 John. See, because we must overcome the world by faith too. We must not only have a clean heart, as the psalmist said, David, create in me a clean heart, O God, that I might not sin against thee. We must also overcome the world by faith. Let's go to 1 John 5. I guess I could start in verse 4 here. And it says here, For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is a Son of God. This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. Oh, there's a lot that could be said about that, isn't there? And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit, and the water, and the blood. And these three agree in one. Oh, praise God. That parallels. They parallel one another. They complement one another. And there, it goes deeper than that. I can't get into that today. There's a whole lot more to that. And if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which He hath testified of His Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of His Son. And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and His life is in His Son. Many people think that there is no Son of God. That temple in Jerusalem that said God has no Son, that is untrue. That is blasphemous. That is denying the power of God. That is untrue. There is truly a Son of God. His name is Jesus. And He hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. In other words, if you're not born again, you don't have the life of Christ in you living. If you don't have the Spirit of God, because you see, the Spirit of God is in Jesus. And Jesus is in the Spirit. And if you have Jesus, you have life. And if you have life, it is because of Jesus. And it says here in verse 13, "These things have I written unto you, that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God." See, this is another way to know if you are making your calling and election sure. Do you have that witness in you? Do you have the Son of God living in you? Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 10 once, real quick. It just takes a while to find these, so bear with me. Amen. Praise God. Okay. Okay, praise God. 22, it says, "Behold, the noise of the brute is come, and a great commotion out of the north country, to make the cities of Judah desolate and the den of dragons. O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps." In other words, we by ourselves cannot know God. We by ourselves cannot find God. It is not by our own intellect, but by the mercy and grace of Almighty God. Amen. The promise of God is to them who overcome. Amen. To those who God has called. To those who God is calling to be elected. To the elect. Go to Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. Oh, praise God. It says here in 2, I think we'll go to verse 10. "Fear none of those things which shall come, which shall suffer. Thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. But be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." Here we find that When we are faithful, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb, yes. We are faithful, faithfulness unto death. And Jesus said that He will give us the crown of life. If we are faithful unto the death, He will give us that reward. Endure unto the end and fight the good fight. If you go to 1 John, let's go to 1 John. Another way to know if we are making our calling and election sure is if we add brotherly love to our walk. First John 4:10-11. Let's go there. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Amen? No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us. Amen? That's what the Word of God says here. And His love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in Him, and He in us, because He hath given us of His Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that Jesus sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. You see, the Bible says very clearly, whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. That is a great witness. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. In other words, that love is also truth. That truth of Christ. Because without love, He would never have shared that truth. Without truth, we would never know love. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as He is, so are we in this world. And if you go to 1 John 3, what does it say there in verse 10? Just over. It says, in this the children of God are manifest. In other words, you're going to be made known. People will know you by the kind of love you have one to another. You'll be known by the fruit that you bear. Do you love people around you? Do you have the love of Christ in you? And people can see that. They can recognize that if you have love in your heart or not. And they can see that because you are operating in that spirit. The only spirit that comes from Jesus is the spirit of that love. Because He gave His life for us that we might live. The Bible talks about how that no greater love hath no man than that he lay down his life for another. Amen? And that was what Jesus did for us. He's calling us to do the same thing. And it says here, for this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother, and wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil. And his brothers were righteous. In other words, he was jealous. Just like the Pharisees are jealous because they didn't get the attention that the apostles had gotten or Jesus had gotten. Because there was truth in what they were saying. There was something about them. They had the love of Christ in them. They were gravitating for something that they could hang on to. They wanted answers. You can't get answers from fables. You can't get the answer you need from a lie and from deception and from things that are untrue, that come from an untrue source. The devil is the father of all lies, and we don't want to listen to the devil because everything he does and says is based on a lie. Amen? Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. In other words, we're not to be surprised. The world's going to hate you as it hated Jesus. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. In other words, abide means that you live continually in death. You abide in it. It's all around you continually. There's no light and there's no life in it. And it says here, whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Amen? But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up the bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? In other words, when somebody has a great need and they come to you and they're asking, can you please help me or pray for me or I need this or I need that, and you have it beside you to bless that person and you don't give it to him, and you set up your bowels of mercy and compassion, the Bible says, how dwelleth the love of God in you? Something to consider. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed, and watch this, in truth. Hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart, and knoweth all things. Amen. 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 He knoweth all things. God is greater than our hearts. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence towards God. Amen? Isn't that what we need towards God? That confidence and faith to know that He's going to deliver us? Amen? And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. And this in His commandment, that we should believe on the name of the Son of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He gave commandment. That's a commandment. Amen? That's not to be ignored. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit he hath given us. Now let's go to Romans chapter 8. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. Romans chapter 8. I guess we could start. I think it's in 28 here. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Amen. Who shall lay anything to charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Amen. Not some man, not some woman. It is God that justifies our faith. If we listen to the world, the world's going to condemn us and tell us you're going down the wrong path. Go our way. Listen to us. We've got the answer. No. God has the answer. And He reveals it to His own, to those who are called according to His purpose. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake all are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. How do you make your calling and election sure? Oh, to live in Christ is gain. To live in Christ. Calling and election can be only made sure by the grace of God in you, as He has shown you how to live, how to think, and how to talk according to the perfect will of God, that we might be diligent to seek after these things, knowledge and understanding and wisdom, grace and holiness, purity, the love of Christ in us, guarding our hearts, making sure that we are doing due diligence to make sure that we are truly in the faith, to examine ourselves daily, look in the mirror, to do all that we can to know that we are doing and walking and obeying the Word of God. Do we pray until we are not able to stop praying? Oh, God help us. God help us to get into that place where we perfectly find that perfect peace that is found in Christ. When we feel that presence of God, and we can find that assurance that we are in the way. Jesus said that I am the way, the truth, and the life. Are you walking in that way, in that truth, and in that life? Make your calling and election sure today. Amen. Praise God. Amen. We're going to